Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Y'all look good. It's good to see y'all out today. It's wonderful to be here. I'm glad that you're here, and I look forward to ringing out the message a little bit today. If you've not been with us on our budget Sunday, usually in January of the year, this is going to be a little different than our normal worship service. I'm going to speak for roughly 10 to 15 minutes. And then Brother Scott is going to come and talk about 2023 and 2024, and then he will be giving the invitation at the end of his talk. So be ready for that. And I think it's really a fantastic bit of timing that our open forum is this afternoon with the elders. So as we begin to talk about these things, and this congregation has a lot of things to talk and think about, it's a great opportunity to come and to get with the Davids and to talk to them. And I'm sure that they would want me to say that they're available at any time that you wish to talk to them. It's not just a one time every once in a while. But this is a good thing. Everybody knows they can come. So Scott will speak after me. And then at 4 o'clock this afternoon, the Davids will speak to us. If you would, turn to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. And we're going to have a couple of different scriptures from Luke that end and close our lesson. We're going to start in 14 and end with 15 today. Because Jesus says something that we used to sing a song that said, "Have you counted the cost, though your soul should be lost, though you gain the whole world as your own?" I don't know how many of you had that melody ringing in your ears as I sang it. But this is a lesson about counting the cost, because giving and monetary things is part of the reality of this world. There would not be lights on today. We would not be as warm today as we are without some kind of financial assistance. And the Lord has given us plenty of examples in the Bible that that is something that Christians are to do. Christians are to support the ringing out of the message, support the local work, support any benevolence that's needed for the local group. And I will say, for as long as I've been with this group, I'm not aware of anyone that's ever had a physical need in this group that we did not meet. If you or you know of someone who's struggling with a light bill or a mortgage or whatever the case may be, we want to know about it. We don't want those. It's a shame for God's people to have some of their own faithful people need the basic necessities of life, and we want to take care of that. So that'll be part of our message today. But I think it would be an error if we did not observe the fact that we're full and that this congregation, if we're going to continue to grow, is going to need some facility solutions. Now, what they are, what form they take, that's still part of the process. But as we talk about this lesson, we're going to be talking about counting the cost. Because there's no way to put this. People are not in the business of providing you with assembly buildings. People are not in the business of handing churches completely furnished facilities. So if you're going to get a facility, you're going to have to count the cost. You're going to have to spend some money. And there's no way around doing those things. And you may think of mammon or money as something that's not spiritual. This is a spiritual enterprise because we're not just doing this for funsies. We're not just raising money and spending money to be doing. We are trying to do the Lord's work, and I'll give an example of that. Do you know how many people more met with the North Second Street Church of Christ in 23 than in 22? 13. 13. What's the price that you would put on 13 souls? So what we are doing is working, and what we are doing is giving God the glory, and what we are doing is growing that sheep pen, that we have elders now, that we have shepherds, and now we have sheep, and now we are growing because we're doing what God has asked us to do. So as we grow, we're going to need a bigger pen for the sheep. And Jesus tells us that involves counting the cost. Now, yes, there's quite a bit of this that Jesus is referring to here that has to do with discipleship. But I think it's also fair to apply it to what we're talking about with the budget today. So if you're in Luke 14, let's read verses 25 through 33, and that was where we'll begin. "Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish"? Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. So Jesus is talking about discipleship, but he's also talking about what we love. What we love. I've heard preachers say that if you want to show me how much the Lord means to you, let me see your checkbook. Now, we're not in the business of checking checkbooks. Don't get nervous. But what he's saying is your giving is part of your heart. Your giving of monetary things is a spiritual exercise. And Jesus here in counting the cost of discipleship says, you can't value your family more than me. You can't value your family more than me. Now, within the discipleship concept, Jesus is saying, what I'm here to do is more important than those things. And that is true. Which of us in eternity would say, I'm glad I gave up my soul for my family? That's not what the rich man says in the parable of Lazarus. He says, please come cool my tongue and let others go to speak to my family. What does he say? So that they will not come to this place. We are in the business of people not coming to that place. What is that worth? What price will we put on 13 souls? When we count the cost, when we talk about these monetary things, don't look at them and say, you're just always asking for money. I will tell you right now, this congregation has never been in that business, will not be in this business. Our congregation gives beautifully, wonderfully. This is not a lesson chastising this congregation about saying, you're not giving enough. What I am saying is, as we go into the next phase of this congregation, it's going to take some monetary things. We're going to have to count the cost, and we're going to have to be reasonable and sober-minded about it. And we're going to have to find out what we can do to increase our own giving so that the work of North Second Street may grow. Well, in counting the cost, the first thing we need to do is realize that failure is a real possibility. Now this is a real building up kind of a thing to say, right? But you need to realize failure is a possibility. In fact, that's what Jesus is saying. Jesus saying, don't start to build a tower and only have enough money for the foundation, because what will happen? The text says people will mock you. You certainly don't want to go out with an army of 10,000 to face an army of 20,000. I don't want to do that. Jesus is saying their failure is a possibility. Now, why do we say that? Because I think sometimes people like to say, well, as long as we're doing God's work and God is with us, we can just do whatever we want. That is not the way we are to go forward. Jesus himself is saying we need to count the cost. We need to make measured decisions. Yes, we believe in the Lord. Yes, we believe this to be his work. Yes, we believe he will bless us if we work. But we can't just make willy-nilly plans without any reality. We can't just say, somebody might say, well, let's go buy a piece of land. Okay, that's great. Have you shopped for 4 acres of land near a highway in Clarksville, Tennessee lately? It's not as easy to find as you might think. I think we priced one at $450,000, one piece of land, and that was cheap. So if you're going to get that and you're going to get a facility, you can't just say, well, it's the Lord's work here. We're going to go buy a $500,000 piece of property and build a $3 million building. The Lord's with us. It'll work out great. Is that counting the cost? No, that is not. That is not accepting the fact that failure is a possibility. Should that sober us? Yes. Should it make us realize that we need to proceed, yes, with faith, but also with caution? I think both things are true. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 5 and 6 is a great verse on this. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Let not your mouth lead you into sin, and do not say before the messenger that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? We need to be careful that we're not overly confident. We need to make sure that Jesus himself is telling us counting the cost is okay. Jesus is encouraging us to make wise and educated and dependable decisions. But we also need to understand that as much as failure is a reality, not using the Lord's blessings is also something that's held in negative view. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. Because I must tell you, God has blessed us. When Scott goes over the budget today, it's jaw-dropping. Look at that math. Our average is $3,400. That's almost Can't do math. That's almost $1,000 over budget. What, $800 a week? A week. This congregation almost gives $1,000 more than our budget a week. So please don't misunderstand anything that I or Scott will say. We are not standing up here to say, boy, the Christians at North 2nd Street are just not doing their part. That's not it. We are blessed, and we thank you, and we are giving glory to God that we know how much God means to you because we see your checkbook. We see you give and give generously. And because of that, we understand and we appreciate. Well, Jesus even says that now that you've been given something, so now God has given us these blessings, as much as we don't need to be overconfident, as much as we need to realize failure is a possibility, we need to use those blessings. God has given us this group of people. God has given us these things. So what are we going to do with it? It's not right to just sit on it and say, well, this is what we're going to do. We're not going to do anything. Look at Matthew chapter 25 and verse 27. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 27. Now, this has always seemed a little bit of an odd verse to me because Jesus here is going to chastise the man who went and hid his money in the ground. Jesus gives three servants varying amounts of money, and the one with the least of money does the least with it. And then God takes that money, and what does he do with it? He gives it to the man that has more. And that seems odd, but I think there's a reason for it. Let's take a look at verse 27 and see what we can learn. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. Now this is the master talking to the servant who only had the one talent. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. They might say, that's mean, Lord. Why did he do that? I'll tell you why he did that. Whose talents are they? They're the master's. Amen to that. So the master has given these servants these talents, these things, these blessings that we have received. Why? To be so afraid that we don't do anything? Jesus says, no. In fact, I'm going to take the money from the one who does not do anything with it, and I'm going to give it to the one that has abundance. Why would he do that? Because he is looking for there to be multiplication in his kingdom. God doesn't want one time this congregation. He doesn't want two times this congregation. He wants five times and 10 times this congregation. You may think that's a bold thought, but I will tell you this. How many people live in Montgomery County? 300,000? 7580? Is that, you think that's what God looks for? You think God looks down in Clarksville, Tennessee and says, well, I think 80 is about the number. I think that's about as many Christians as we can stand. How many in one day in Jerusalem? 3,000. So yes, we need to realize as we go forward, we have to be cautious, we have to be sober-minded, we have to use judgment, we have to count the cost. But we also need to remember that this is God's work, and he expects us to do something with the blessings that we have been given. And so we shall. Well, there's one more concept I want to develop, really two, out of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. Turn there if you don't mind. We'll be brief. God never asks us to do something, not only that he's not willing to do, because he certainly sacrificed more than we ever will, but God never asks us to give what we don't have. God has never said to the Christian, I want you to give, you make $200 a week, I want you to give $185 of that to the church. That's not, if you hear that kind of thing, you need to hide your wallet and find another congregation. God will never ask you to do something that is beyond your will and beyond your ability. Take a look at what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 11. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of, are you see it here? Out of what you have. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. Paul here is talking to a group of people who are giving. And they are givers. And he said, you've made a pledge to give, now finish it. That's what he's talking about. And then he says, God is never going to ask you to give something you don't have. It is acceptable if you give what you have. It is acceptable if you give what you have, and I think you need to understand to give generously and with purpose. We're going to talk about the idea of giving, being a cheerful giver, certainly within this text. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I want you to get the idea here that we are to give as we've decided in our heart. The decision of what you will give is not to be made during the second song. Right? The contribution. I got $5. Forget the amount of money. I got $1,000. That's not how we give. We give as we have decided in our heart, as we've planned. This is what the Word of God says, verse 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one of you must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Yes, we are to give abundantly, but we are to give as we planned in our heart. We are to make a decision and do those things. My giving is part of our monthly budget. Now, I will tell you this. There is no such thing as a set amount of money that you have to give. There is no such thing as tithing in the New Testament. There is no such thing as tithing in the New Testament. Are we to give? Are we to give as we purpose in our heart? Absolutely, yes. Is there a set number that I must meet? No, there is not. There's also not a set number that you don't exceed. If you have it and you can give glory to God in giving it, you should. Well, I told you that we would start and end in Luke. Let's go to Luke chapter 15, and this is our last verse. Just as in Luke 14, Jesus said that we need to count the cost. In Luke 15, everything is lost in Luke 15, by the way. That's a good way to remember a lot of what's there. Coins and children and sheep. But I want you to, as we read Luke chapter 15, verses 4 through 7, and this will conclude my section of the sermon, I want you to think about what God is asking us to do. God is asking us to provide a pen to save souls. We've added 13 this year. What is God's attitude toward adding more sheep to his fold? Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. This is Luke 15. I'm beginning in verse 1. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. The Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them a parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Then he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. If there's that much joy in heaven over one, how much joy in heaven will there be over 10, over 13, over 20, over 80? Would it not be better off for the Lord's kingdom if there were a congregation here in 10 years that had 150, 200 people in it? Amen. How many of those souls will create joy in heaven because we've counted the cost and we've done what needed to be done for this congregation to grow and to have a place for there to be more sheep in the pen? That's our message. Brother Scott is going to get down to the details of it for us, but thank you for being here. And as always, we appreciate your love for God as you come to North 2nd Street. Brother Scott.
Okay, you've heard the good part of the lesson. Now you have the boring part of the lesson. It is boring for most people. I like dealing with numbers, and it's not boring when I do that, and it's really not boring when Jason, like he said, we have a congregation here who really takes time and thinks about giving. And I think each one of you do that on a weekly basis, and it's noticed with everyone here. If you're visiting with us, this part of the lesson may mean nothing to you. But what it does mean is that when we show numbers like this, we try to be transparent to all of our members here and to anyone who comes into our congregation. We want you to know where we spend the money and how we spend the money here. And that's an important part of that. Before I begin, if you don't mind, let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and the many blessings that you give us. At this time, I'd like to thank you for everything that you've given us in our lives. We thank you for our homes, our families, and our jobs. We thank you for the ability that we have to give back to you each week. And we pray that as each one of us looks at what we did last year, that we will see how our giving has helped this congregation grow. We thank you for each person here and their abilities to do so. We thank you for the growth that we have seen here. We thank you for providing that growth. And with that growth, we have continued to grow numerically, and we pray that we will continue to grow numerically and spiritually in the future. We pray that we will continue to be a light in the neighborhood here, and we pray that we'll continue to shine in your word. These things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Mitch, if you guys, Kevin, if you would hand out last year's end of the year. Does the laser work on this, Jason?
No.
No? Okay. All right. What you see on the screen, you're going to get a copy of. This is our yearly spreadsheet for last year. There are a few things that I'd like to notate on there, and as you look at it, kind of help you work your way through it. So they're just not numbers on a page. That they will help you understand what your contribution does here. As you're looking at the page there, you'll notice there's a column all the way to the far left that says contribution, and it has the number one on there. And you'll see that there's monthly, January through December. Top to bottom, starting at the top at $16,424, that is what contribution we had last January. And if you follow that column down, that shows you the contribution every month that was given here. That total amount for the year, if you follow it all the way down there to the column where it says actual YTD year to date, our total contribution last year was $180,435. That averages out per week $3,404, which is amazing. That also this year, this number, $3,404, is the average so far since January. So we're still continuing on that pace. When I looked up and saw that number this morning, I went, wow, that's the same number we had last year for weekly average. So as you can tell, that is continuing on this year, which is great. At the very bottom of that column, and that's cut off on this page there, it says over and under budget. And there's a number there that says $43,935. That is the amount of surplus from what our budget number was last year. Our budget number was $136,500. If you take $136,500 and subtract it from the $184,35, you come up with an excess of $43,935. So that's in excess of what we had actually physically budgeted, just like if you were having your budget each week at home on how much you were going to spend on groceries and you had $300 you were going to spend, but you only spent $250, you had $50 excess. That's what that amount is at the bottom. Now, that doesn't mean that that excess is just frivolously used, but you'll notice also column two that talks about our utilities. That's utilities not just for this building, but we have two other buildings that we also have to pay utilities for, water and heat and things like that. So those are your totals there. The next column is business and postage. That is our internet that we have here. We mail a lot of thank you cards for people attending. Anything that has to do with the actual business operation. When we purchase business equipment like a copier or a printer or a computer, that goes into those categories. The next column, teacher supplies, and I'd like to expound on that this year. With the growth of our congregation, and if you look around, we have lots of young people now. We need teacher supplies. So this year, you'll notice when you get the new budget that our teaching supply budget has gone up, because guess what? We're teaching a lot more people. That's a great problem to have. And we want to make sure that if you're a parent and you're bringing your children here, that they learn something on Sunday morning. They're just not sitting in class and writing numbers or coloring. We want to teach them something about the Bible. And so in our teacher supplies, when we get to the new budget, you'll see that I've increased that amount because we're going to need more teacher supplies. Building and maintenance, that's the next column. This is an old building. It takes stuff to keep it up, keep it running, light bulbs, things like that. Jim Lehue does a great job handling the purchasing of those supplies, taking care of those things. If you ever need anything, get with Jim. He'll handle it. He'll make sure you have it. The one thing in that column I'd like you to know, you'll see there's a large number in June of about $3,200 there. That one always sticks out. Everybody goes, well, wow, why did we spend that much money? That is our yearly insurance premium for the building here. That falls in that category, has always fallen in that category since our brother Albert had that. He put that insurance payment in building supplies and maintenance years ago. So instead of jumbling numbers around, I just leave it there. Helps me remember Albert's ability to do things and how detailed he was. The next column is what we pay our preacher each month. Jason, as he labors here, he does not have a secondary job. He is a full-time minister. We pay him full-time to minister here. And that column there, as you'll see, is his monthly pay for this past year. The next column is substitute preaching. When Jason's out or sick, or we have a gospel meeting, that's where we pay out of that category. We had several substitute preachers. Dylan Cunningham has preached for us before. Those young men, they deserve to be paid for their time and effort that they put forward. And also when Brooks comes. And then you'll notice in October we had Brother White who came in from Texas. That's what the $1,987 is in October. Miscellaneous expense, column 8 there. We set that up a couple of years ago when we needed things for like buying computers and things like that. That just hit us at the moment, spur of the moment that we needed. And we have the money for, but we needed to show where it went. The big expense that we had there in July of $4,500, we're making plans for a new building. The two Davids have been working with architects on that. And that $4,500 was the site survey here for this property to see what we can do. And that's where that $4,500 goes. They don't do that for free. So you'll see the expense there. Then we have, we've not had any outside support of a preacher in the past few years. And this year I've taken that column off of there. The grounds and building is the next. That is cleaning of this building and the other two buildings year-round. And then also starting in about March, somebody has to mow the grass through about October. That's where those expenses are shown in there. And we have someone who's been mowing here now for 10, 15 years. Great guy. He comes when we call him. We're on his list. He hits us up. You never see grass growing up or anything like that. He's very conscientious. Then we have cleaning that is done each week of the main auditorium. And the classrooms are done biweekly. So we try to keep our facilities looking nice. And then the last column, over the years, like Jason mentioned in his lesson this morning, we want no one to have any need here. If you're a Christian and attend here and you're struggling to eat, pay your bill, something like that, come see myself or Jim. We handle the benevolence here, and we will help you with that. It is confidential. Do not feel like we are going to announce that to everyone, because sometimes it's a personal thing. We don't need to spread that around. But if you're a member here and want to know if you see an expense on there, come to myself or Jim and we'll explain who we helped out if we feel that is something that we need to tell everyone. But you'll see this year we were able to help someone in our midst in May, June, and July. That's a good work. Each one of you should be commended because what you give each week goes to that. You have helped someone within this congregation. And that's what we're here for. We're here to help each other. Not only live here, but get to heaven. So that's what that number is there. Then finally, you'll see over on the far right-hand side, you'll see a column that says total expenses. That's the monthly expenses. Each one of those columns that we just went through, that's the monthly expenses. And then on the far right, it will give you an over or under number. That is the contribution minus the expenses. Like in January, we had a contribution of $16,424, expenses of $11,243. So we had an excess over the budget of $5,181. That amount goes into our bank balance. It increases our bank balance. The previous year end, which is not up there, bank balance was $338,011. So when I add the $5,181, that gives you the bank balance there. So at the end of the year, you follow that bank balance all the way down. Our bank balance at the end of the year of December was $383,237. Now, we were talking about starting and building a building and growing. That bank balance is going to help us quite a bit. And keep that in mind, that that money is just not sitting there. It's being prepared to be used. We're going to need that. And we're going to need your continued support in the growth of the church here. Like your generous giving has been given, we may have to tighten our belts a little bit. It may be a sacrifice. Remember that God sacrificed for us, His Son. And now for us to grow and to save souls, which 13 is a great number. Wow, this past year, 13 people. That's 15%, 20% of our congregation grew with new people. So that is great. If you would, please hand out the new budget. You can take this home with you and look over it. I'm not going to go into major detail. You'll notice what I mentioned earlier, where there are some slight increases in our budget this year. Our new budget number will be increasing from 2625. I'll have Jim put the new number up there today. Our weekly budget will be 2846. And that takes into consideration an increase in our utility bills. Everybody knows, if you've had your utility bills lately, things are going up there. So we have an increase there. Increases in our business and postage, but the big one was we've increased our teacher supplies, and I think I explained to you why there. Building and maintenance, and then we have an increase in our preacher pay, which is going from $7,600 to $7,850 per month. That is a raise of about $3,000 per year. So that is taking place this year. We still have substitute preachers. We have miscellaneous expense. I kind of dropped that back for right now. And then we have grounds and maintenance. So as you can see there, those goals, I've told you before, I try to do realistic numbers. I don't like pie-in-the-sky numbers, something that we can't reach. The 2846 weekly budget, as you can tell with the 3404, that's very realistic. We do a great job doing that. We commend everyone here for their contributions and continued support. With all that being said, if you have any questions, feel free to ask me or any of the Davids. We've gone over the budget and have talked about it. They know everything in the budget. We're not hiding anything there. So feel free to contact us and just talk about it. I'd be remiss if we didn't offer an invitation this morning. Every week when we meet, we offer an invitation. If you're here, we want you to be part of that number for 2024. We had 13 new members in 2023. If you've not been baptized, we want you to be baptized and be part of this work. I'm looking out over the crowd this morning. I remember 10 years ago, it was about a third less. We were having about 50 people on Sunday morning. This morning, how many do we have, Ronnie? 85 this morning, which is great. It's wonderful. And if you listen closely, you hear a lot of young voices. That's good. I mean, it's bring your kids. Kids making noise are not a big deal. We want them here. We want you here. Because if we don't have kids here, the church will not grow. And we appreciate you bringing them here. But we're here. We will help you today. If you want to come forward, we have water prepared. We will baptize you. You can become part of the membership here. We would love to have you on a weekly basis attending with us, being part of this congregation, being part of the growth here. And if you are visiting with us and you're looking for a congregation, come back and visit with us. We're here. The doors are open. Talk to any of us. We'll be glad to have you. If you are a member who's not been faithful, who's kind of drifted away, not taking things too serious, or just need a prayer in your behalf, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.